is educational fraud on the rise? Is it continuing? Is it even a thing? This actually happened to spark some lively debate on my Facebook page. If you haven't had a chance to, head on over to Facebook and follow me, and make sure you got to click on the following thing, and you got to say that you always want notifications, I guess. But this is why commenting on videos is so important. Ever since I basically broke Facebook when I when I did a couple of posts and had everything misspelled, and then people were seeing it for the first time. So, and most people, I have almost 5,000 friends now on Facebook, and most people say that they don't ever get notifications when I post stuff. I post stuff every day, all day, multiple times throughout the day I'm posting stuff. But Facebook wasn't showing anybody anything. And then I did a couple of posts where I misspelled everything to get around the Facebook algorithm. And it worked because people were finally starting to see it. And a bunch of people commented telling me that they could see it for the first time they're seeing one of my posts. Well, ever since then, and I think it's because people were commenting and liking and doing that kind of stuff. But now my posts are starting to be shown in more people's news feed. So that's why commenting is really important, and then just going to my Facebook page and clicking that you want to see. I think it's like see first or something. But you click on it and there's a way to do it where you can tell Facebook that you want to always be notified. It's kind of like the bell for YouTube, where you got to click the bell and say that you want notifications. But I think it's under following or something like that. But anyway, you got to do that, and then you got to comment. And if you comment, then you'll actually get to see my posts. I've been uploading these videos to Facebook as well as DTube and YouTube, which, I mean, it does take extra time to do all that, but it's worth it if you guys actually get to see it and if you're benefiting from it, which I've heard from many of you, and thank you for that. I appreciate it. So Facebook, okay. I have all sorts of people following me online, and that's great. I like the conversation. I like the debate. But sometimes people on the other side, they just want to argue, and they don't want to learn anything. They don't want to try to see something from another side, even if they don't agree with it. Like, for example, there are things that I'm vehemently against, like abortion, for one thing. Completely against it. I'm never going to be a pro-abortion kind of person. Not going to be a pro-choice kind of person. I'm going to be a pro-life person forever. Having said that, the reason that I can say that is because I've looked at all the arguments on both sides. I understand the other side of the argument. I just don't agree with it. I've learned about it. I know what it is. One of the best ways to know what your own position is to be able to explain the opposite position better than somebody else on that side can. So I understand all the arguments forward and backward. And in processing all that information, I am absolutely pro-life. I like it said this way, pro-life is actually pro-choice. It's just anti-one choice. So there's abstinence, there's adoption, you have choices. Having the baby, pregnancy. There's one choice that we're against, and that's killing the child. And I know people on the other side of that argument say, well, you can't say that you're killing anything, and it's not really, whatever. Whatever. I don't want to make this this is not a pro-choice, pro-life video. This is actually about the educational system. But this kind of stuff comes up because most people in the educational system now, when they get into social sciences and things like that, they only really learn one side of the story. They learn one side of the argument and why that's right and then why the other stuff is bad. And this is actually showing up statistically now, and it's hurting our culture. People are coming out of college less informed than they used to be. So earlier this month, the 2017 National Assessment of Educational Progress, or the nation's report card, was released, and it's not great. Only 37% of 12th graders tested proficient or better in reading, and only 25% did so in math. Among Black students, only 17% tested proficient or better in reading, and only 7% reached at least a proficient level in math. Now, the NAEP, the atrocious performance, is really only a fraction of the bad news. So nationally, Our high school graduation rate is over 80%. So this means that high school diplomas, which attest that these students can read and compute at a 12th grade level, are conferred when 63% are not proficient in reading and 75% are not proficient in math. So people are still graduating, even though they're not meeting the terms of graduating, of reading and computing at a 12th grade level. And it's across the board. So for blacks, the news is even worse. Roughly 75% of black students received high school diplomas attesting that they could read and compute at the 12th grade level. However, 83% could not read at that level, and 93% could not do math at that level. So it's really, it's grossly dishonest for the education establishment and politicians to boast about unprecedented graduation rates when the high school diplomas, for the most part, don't represent academic achievement. They, at best, certify attendance. You know, that's pretty much what it is. You know, it's kind of funny. I graduated high school barely passing. I had a 2.6 GPA. It was terrible, terrible. And it took me years after that to on my own. I had to go and study and learn on my own. I didn't take any classes. It's just me having to go to the library and read books and research stuff on the internet myself, to be able to understand things well enough to do what I do now. But you don't go from a 2.6 GPA, barely graduating high school, to then writing books on quantum physics without some hard work. It takes a lot of hard work. That should have happened in school. Now, of course, I take my part in it because I didn't study as hard as I should have, and I wanted to party and you know, I wanted to do all that stuff. But so I'm not saying I had no part in it, but at the same time, I don't know that I should have been allowed to graduate. You know, I'm glad that I did. You know, it probably would have been pretty tough on me if I didn't. But at the same time, maybe that would have been better if I wouldn't have graduated, because I certainly wasn't, I might have been able to read at a 12th grade level, but I couldn't do math at a 12th grade level, not at that time. I couldn't, a lot of the basic requirements for graduation, I doubt I would have actually mastered. So fraudulent high school diplomas aren't the worst of this whole fraud. So some of the greatest fraud occurs at the higher education levels, so colleges and universities. Now, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, 70% of white high school graduates in 2016 enrolled in college, and 58% of black high school graduates enrolled in college. So here's a question. If only 37% of white high school graduates test as college ready, how come colleges are still admitting 70% of them? And if roughly 17% of black high school graduates test as college ready, how come colleges are admitting 58% of them? Now, it's inconceivable that college administrators are unaware that they're admitting students who are ill-prepared and can't perform at the college level. Colleges cope with ill-prepared students in several ways. They provide remedial courses. One study actually suggests that more than two-thirds of community college students take at least one remedial course, as do 40% of four-year college students. College professors are dumbing down their courses so that ill-prepared students can get passing grades. And colleges also set up majors with little analytical demands so as to accommodate students with analytical deficits. Such majors often include the term study. So ethnic studies, cultural studies, gender studies, social studies, that kind of stuff, and even American studies. So the major for the most ill-prepared students, sadly enough, is education, believe it or not. When students' SAT scores are ranked by intended major, education majors place 26th on a list of 38. So that's pretty low. Now, the bottom line is that colleges are admitting youngsters who have not mastered what used to be considered a ninth grade level of proficiency in reading, writing, and arithmetic. Very often, when they graduate from college, they still can't master even a 12th grade level of academic proficiency. Now, the problem's worse in college sports. So during a recent University of North Carolina scandal, a learning specialist hired to help athletes found that during the period from 2004 to 2012, 60% of the 183 members of the football and basketball teams read between fourth and eighth grade levels. and about 10% read below a third grade level. So keep in mind that all of these athletes both graduated from high school and were admitted to college. Now, when you think about it, how necessary is college anyway? Now, of course, if you're going to be a doctor or a scientist, then you need to be trained. But one estimate is that 1 in 3 college graduates have a job historically performed by those with a high school diploma. So according to Richard Vetter, he's a distinguished emeritus professor of economics at Ohio University and the director of the Center for College Affordability and Productivity. In 2012, there were 115,000 janitors, 16,000 parking lot attendants, 83,000 bartenders, and about 35,000 taxi drivers with a bachelor's degree. So they were doing these jobs, which anybody out of high school can do, but they had a bachelor's degree. So I'm not sure really what could be done about it. I mean, the first step towards any solution is really for the American people to be aware of this academic fraud at every level of communication. I mean, if we're not even going to acknowledge the problem, and a lot of people don't, believe me, a lot of people, even though this is loaded with statistics, it's loaded with data, studies that you can't really argue against. I mean, it is what it is. But people are going to look at that and interpret it differently. So they'll say that it's other things. And I'll say, especially people who are professors, teachers, or people on the left will absolutely not agree with any of this. So there comes a time where you just, you know, you just don't even say anything. You just don't argue. Just, okay. You let people have their hissy fits and you let it go there. You know, and it kind of speaks to a larger issue that I just wanted to touch on real quick, because some people wonder why I don't respond really when somebody criticizes me or my audience on Facebook, because it doesn't matter. I care way more about my audience than what somebody thinks of my audience, right? Somebody who's not really doesn't know what they're talking about anyway. And the main reason is because when you do try to engage with these people, when you do try to give them information, they won't hear it. They'll reinterpret it to mean something else, and it's a fruitless conversation. It does no good for nobody. They will look at the exact same statistics and then say that it's something else. They will look at the same thing that you're looking at, the same lack of evidence of something, and then they'll say that it's something else. So, I mean, it makes zero difference. It is not worth the fight. And then some people ask, well, why don't you delete their comments? And it's because they're not technically being offensive. Now, if somebody's dropping F-bombs or something, I'll probably delete those. If somebody's actually cussing somebody out, I'll delete those. But if somebody is really just kind of being a baby or whatever, well, I just leave them up and don't even engage with those people. It serves when you know that they already have a position of they're not going to see it your way. They're not even going to entertain it. Not even that they're not going to agree. It's fine if they don't, if they don't want to agree, that's fine if they have reason for doing so. But if they can't even get to the point where they can say, you know, I see your point, but I don't agree with it for these reasons. But I understand why you do. That makes sense to me. But, you know, we just have to disagree. If that person isn't mature enough to even get there, it doesn't matter how smart they are. If they're not mature enough to get to that point, it is pointless to have a conversation. You know, this is actually a lot of the reason Jesus was so silent when the Pharisees kept asking him questions and stuff and kept bugging him and everything, and he just wouldn't answer. It's the whole pearls before swine stuff. It wouldn't solve anything. It doesn't matter. Now, every once in a while, you'll run into somebody who does actually want to have a conversation and want to talk. And then it depends on, you know, your time, if you're available and all that. But so that's why. And I'm not naming anybody individually or anything, because it really doesn't matter anyway. And the world's full of people like this. So, I mean, it's not like there is any one individual or anything. But those of you who follow me and those of you who are in this, you know, I'm sure you read the YouTube comments. I'm sure you read on Facebook and stuff. And these people are just there, and they're going to be there, and they're going to do what they do. We don't have to be bothered by it. It serves no purpose. I don't think it honors God when we let ourselves go down to that emotional level and respond emotionally and get upset about it. It just doesn't serve any purpose. And ultimately, when you think about it like this, a lot of those people who do that are either just straight atheist, just straight up atheist, or they're not Christian, or even if they say they're Christian, they're not really acting like it. Remember what the Bible says about spiritual maturity? It takes time after you get saved. It takes a lot of time to go from, you know, the milk to the meat, you know, just like a baby going from milk to meat. It takes a long time to develop that. So, and I don't mean this insultingly, but when an atheist or when somebody who's not a Christian or somebody on the left or whatever, when they're saying stuff or they're trying to get your goat or whatever, when they're trying to say sarcastic things to upset you, think of it as it's like a baby crying. Okay. And I don't mean that insultingly, but that's just what else are they going to do? That's what they do. Now, when a baby cries, it's annoying and you don't like hearing it. And you know, but you can't really get mad at the baby for doing it. That's what they do, you know? So when somebody on the other side does that and they have their hissy fits or whatever, and they want to get sarcastic and when they want to act like a child, well, there comes a time where we just got to think, well, what do you expect? You know, that's what they're going to do. That's just what they're going to do. But so the thing is, it's not your responsibility to change their mind. You can give information if you think it's appropriate, but most times the best thing to do is just not say anything. Just let them have their couple of minutes in the spotlight, and then let them go back to their miserable lives. And because think about it, if they're spending their time doing that, I don't know how much joy you can really have in a life if your life is trolling people every day. I don't know. I don't really waste too much time thinking about it because it doesn't matter. But anyway, that's why I don't respond. I hope nobody thinks that I'm not coming to their defense. It's not that. It's that I think that you're grownups and you can handle yourselves. But also, I love you guys more than that. I love you more than to give the spotlight on somebody else and to come run into your defense on that kind of stuff. Now, if you're actually being persecuted and if there's a legitimate, like, where it's an actual, then yeah, I'm behind you 100%. I mean, if you're being persecuted in some way, I am happy to help in any way that I can. But if it's just somebody being mean on Facebook or YouTube, I get it every day. The best thing to do is what I've been saying for years now, is to block them, delete their comment, move on. On my Facebook page, unless somebody's dropping F-bombs, I just leave the comments up because I think still stuff can be learned from it. We can learn from other people how not to argue. We can learn how to be respectful even if we disagree. We can learn what not to do. We can learn how to not cry like a baby, you know, that kind of stuff. I leave them up, but I'm also not, I'm not going to insult you by jumping to your defense every time when you guys seem to handle your own just fine. So, that's the whole point of this channel, is to teach you how to do that through various videos. We've talked about objective truth versus subjective truth. Now this is an example here, all these statistics, and I'll leave a link on my Facebook page. I'll actually do that right now. I'll leave a link that has all these statistics. It's from the Daily Wire. It's written by Walter E. Williams, and the title is Educational Fraud Continues. So if you want access to all the statistics where you can look them up, then that's where you can find that. But again, there are going to be people where it doesn't matter how much objective proof you give, objective truth that you give, they're just going to fight against it because it doesn't fit their narrative. So we need to learn from that, and we need to not be like that. If we come across evidence that does not fit our narrative, we cannot mold the evidence to fit what we want to be real. We have to mold what we think of as real in light of the evidence. Right. So that's the way to do that. Evidence teaches us about reality. OK, reality doesn't teach us about evidence. So that's what we need to do. We need to learn from their mistakes. OK, if you haven't had a chance to do so, head on over to joshpeckdisclosure.com, and you get free videos every day. You get free podcasts every single day. If you like audio only, there's a podcast page and you can subscribe through Blog Talk. There is a link there. And you can play it through whatever you like. You get new videos every single day. That website, joshpeckdisclosure.com, is updated daily. And the reason that we're able to do that, the reason we're able to keep it free, the reason that we haven't had to go to a, uh, a subscription service or anything like that. And believe me, that is the last thing I want to do. I don't want to do that. But the reason that we've been able to avoid having to do that is because people like you, generous people like you, are donating and you're helping out. I put my own money into this as well, you know, of course. But it really does take a community to build something up like this and to make it grow. So you're all just as much of a part of it as I am. If you're donating, even if you're sharing or commenting, you know, all that stuff, that's great. Praying, that's obviously top on the list. But you can go to joshbeckdisclosure.com/donate. You can donate one time, or you can do a monthly thing. We have it set up for that. You could even send in a money order or a check if you'd rather do that and don't want to deal with credit cards and everything. That's totally fine too. Or if you don't have the money for that, but you have a little bit, you want to help, go to patreon.com. For as little as $1 a month, you can become a pet patron, which gives you access to some awesome contests that I have set up. And once we hit milestones, you can refer people to patreon.com/Josh Peck too. That greatly helps. And also, starting at $3 a month, I think it is, you get access to free books of mine. Free books that I've written before and am making available to people who wish to donate through Patreon monthly. Patreon has been awesome. If you don't have any money, but you have time, you can share videos. You can go to steemit.com and set up an account for yourself, and then follow me. Steemit.com/@Josh Peck. Steemit is awesome. Steemit has a version of YouTube. It's an alternative. It's called DTube. It is great. No suppression, no nothing like that. It's decentralized, so there's no way for anybody to suppress anything. It's phenomenal. It's amazing. I love it. On Steemit, you can actually, you can make money on Steemit, but you can like somebody's post. And when you do that, that gives them a certain amount of money that can be converted into Bitcoin, and that can be converted into real cash. So I've been doing this for a little while. It works out really well. It's not a whole ton of money, but it, you know, a little bit counts. I was able to buy dinner for my family one night through it. So that kind of stuff, all that stuff really adds up and it helps. So there's a lot of different ways to get involved. But the central hub for everything is joshpeckdisclosure.com. That is where you'll find everything. Okay, so that is all for today. Leave me a comment. Let me know what you think. And until next time, thank you so much. I love you all. Take care and God bless.
Hey, everybody, I have decided to start a Patreon site, and I'm very excited about it because this offers you at least one more avenue that can get us away from the YouTube and AdSense and all that ridiculousness that struggles so hard to shut down Christian conservative speakers such as myself. So if you want to help out, please consider becoming one of my patrons. That would be great. Now, it's only because of all of you guys that I've been able to continue doing this all these years. But those of you who are brand new, I cover things from a Christian conservative perspective, as I said before, but we also deal with some fringe topics, such as aliens, UFOs, ghosts, paranormal things. We deal with some things from the political realm, such as Second Amendment and First Amendment rights, things like that. But most importantly, we deal with the gospel of Jesus Christ, how best to present this information to friends who might not be believers. How do we talk to one another about these things? Well, we deal with all that, and I always take questions, I always take feedback, I always take advice, especially from my supporters. So if you haven't had a chance, go to my Patreon site, which is patreon.com/Josh Peck, very easy to remember, and consider becoming a patron for as little as $1 a month. That is nothing. And it would greatly help me out. It'll help you out. And as I always say, when we come together as a community, we can build something amazing together. So let's do that. Thank you so much. And until next time, take care and God bless.